Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place. And it's a different place today because the Rancor Pit Live is the Rancor Pit Live.
Yes, that's true.
Which is our excuse for a pre-recorded show recorded live on a remote.
Whatever that's supposed to mean. Yes, but we're here at the DFW G.I. Joe and Action Figure Show at the Grapevine Convention Center.
In lovely Grapevine, Texas.
Yes.
Not ironically.
Home of many a wine walk. Is that right, Colleen?
Why, yes it is.
Yes.
Why, that would be Colleen Medina.
Yes. In fact, we have a big round table. Let's introduce all of our many. We have six people today.
Wow,
myself,
yes we do.
Cole Houston, Jedi Cole. And you just heard Colleen Medina. Say hello, Colleen Medina.
Hello, Colleen Medina.
Hello, Colleen Medina, everybody.
And we have special guests from Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff. We have Jeff McGee.
Hello.
And Taylor Limberry.
Hi.
And also we have Elijah.
Oh, don't be shy now.
And now he's going to be quiet.
Oh.
Hello, my name is Elijah.
You just got a
This
voice.
Is my first you podcast appearance ever.
Oh, he just keeps grabbing for the mic, but he has nothing to say.
It's funny. I'm sitting there looking as I'm holding him, and I realize Dad put his shoes on backwards. So he's...
You got him on the wrong feet.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Oh, wow.
That's classic.
I thought it was like some kind of really cool...
The best right there.
What you don't realize, he's not talking about his son's shoes. He put his own shoes on backwards.
You know, I did look down to check. I am good on that one, though I think I have two left shoes because I have two left feet.
Okay.
It's like Eugene Levy in Best in Show. You walk around in circles a lot.
I do. I can only make left turns. It's like I have the club on my feet.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, this is a very special, unique a bumper episode. We're doing our regular scheduled episode, which is the second part of our mythology two-parter. We're kind of letting that go this week. Our special guest, Kelly, was going to be unavailable. Mm-hmm. So we're going to we're taking advantage of the fact that the fine folks at the DFW G.I. Joe and Action Figure Show in Grapevine, Texas, have invited us to come here and record live.
Yes, so we are live but not live. We're not broadcasting live, but we are alive, and we're doing this live.
Otherwise, we couldn't do the show.
I was gonna say you're alive.
Thank goodness. So we're at a toy show, so I figured the thing we need to talk about most is probably the novels, the books, how about the toys?
How about we toy around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why they pay me the little bucks.
That's right.
See those guys over there laughing?
Yeah, they were laughing at something.
Yeah, at something.
Speaking of toys, Eddie just bought a toy. Does anyone want to know what it is? Yes, of course you do. It is an Indiana Jones potato head. So what is it called, Eddie?
It's Taters of the Lost Ark.
Of course.
That is what it's actually called. I did not make that up.
And then that's Eddie's toy, but my wonderful collectible that I bought was Flint, a 12-inch Flint. So cool with accessories.
Yes, because Colleen, she demands a 12-incher.
Oh, wow. When it comes to G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
Dirty boy.
So, talking toys, guys. Let's start talking toys with you two. Actually, first, why don't you plug your shows? Because you have a couple, at least a couple.
As we're talking toys, we're talking toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff. Bantha Banter, a Star Wars chat show, and the pilot episode all on Marvin Dog Media. Mm-hmm. And I also appear on Comics with Kenobi, which is on the Coffee with Kenobi feed. And I blog on coffeewithkenobi.com. Mm-hmm. Taylor's website is...
Oh, TaylorLimberry.com, and that's just my name, TaylorLimberry.com.
And he did that without having to think about it. He knows how to spell his own name.
Wow.
And you can also follow him on Instagram. You can also follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Barnlord.
At Barnlord.
Yeah.
I'm Lord of the Barn.
And obviously Marvin Dog Media as well, at Marvin Dog Media, and on Twitter and Instagram as well, although we never post on Instagram. So
you got that handle because you have a reputation of raising barns with the Amish on a regular basis. Is that right?
That was one part. The other part is I leave the door open.
Oh, okay.
So Mom always said that you were raised in a barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do any Amish podcasting at all?
We do, but nobody knows about it.
Yeah, that's basically when you call the whole town together and just yell.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, it's time to start the podcast.
That fits perfectly with what you were talking about on the bus, the no looming.
Oh, yes, no looming on the Dallas City buses.
We're already going off topic. Let's go off topic.
That's right. We're just off the rails.
Yeah, so.
Or off the light rails.
Cole was on the bus line, and so yeah. What's that story, Cole?
Yeah, we were on the checking out the D line in Dallas. It's like a free, it runs a circuit through part of a goodly part of downtown. And we're trying to interpret the little pictograms on the no smoking and no, I guess, no breathing. Picture of an oxygen tank. But there was one we couldn't quite figure out what it was at a distance, and we decided it was probably meant to be a loom. So they don't want you weaving on Dallas City buses.
Yeah, there's a certain section of Dallas where the Amish are just not allowed.
That's right. We're working on that. It's one of the last civil rights hurdles.
Yes. Segregation is still alive and well in Oak Cliff.
I think the belief system is that if you're not going to embrace this century, you don't get to use this century's technologies.
All right, so
I figured in the area where the horsepower of the train stopped, that's where the Amish would get off and leave.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
The city would then be obliged, like bicyclists, you know, they have the rack in the front. You would have to be obliged to have a big rack to put your horse on.
Well, I have no complaints when it comes to big racks, so I'm just going to leave it at that, yeah.
Again with that, like, see, you've made the baby leave the table.
Elijah has left the building.
That's right.
If I happen to leave the building, it's because Messina Hoff Winery is just down the street.
Oh, there we go.
You don't have to plug Messina Hoff Winery. They're not a sponsor of our show, ma'am. You know?
Yet.
Yes.
Yeah. But Colleen is a sponsor of theirs.
And who is Colleen's sponsor? That's what I want to know.
Colleen, Colleen is sponsored today by which makeup line, which lip gloss is sponsoring you today?
It's Tarte Cosmetics.
Tarte, okay.
All right.
So anyway, let's talk some toys.
Yes, indeed.
We have the Talking Toys crew here.
And if you're familiar with the show, you know Eddie and I have some vague familiarity with Star Wars toys and other toys.
Yes, yes. So, let's start with Star Wars toys. Either Taylor, Jeff, or Elijah, what's your earliest memory of Star Wars toys?
I've told my story on your show before, I will defer to Taylor on
this
one.
We need to ask Elijah because all of his memories are early.
Elijah, well, no, I think he's more in tune with his first Star Wars toy thing being the Rancors he's trying to pull off the table.
Okay. Ah, yes.
But my first Star Wars memory for toys was actually a Empire Strikes Back Darth Vader that I got with my grandparents.
Oh, he wants to chime in now.
Yeah,
I know. I went to go visit them, and they took me to like this little local store that had all this fishing baits out of random.
What?
And I found a Darth Vader on Empire card, and I loved it because, you know, it's the first time I saw the lightsaber slide in and out of his wrist.
Yeah.
And that that's my first Star Wars figure that I had, too.
Did it have any hooks in it or anything like that?
No, but I did get some plastic worms so he could bite them later.
Oh, good. The worms of the Sith.
So, Jeff, you told the story because we actually have a lot of listeners that don't cross over to the live show. What was your story? Just a quick reminder.
Well, the first memory I have of going to the movies is going to see The Empire Strikes Back. And the first toy that I got was C-3PO on an Empire card. And I didn't really know how I knew his name. I just knew that I knew who he was and knew what he was. And then my second was Lando Calrissian. So, as a child, I saw no color.
Yeah.
I just knew cool was cool.
And if I remember the story off mic correctly, you said you bought the Lando at a Seagulls liquor store. They had it next to the Colt 45 display. Is that right?
That is not my recollection, but it's possible that it could happen.
It's far better.
Yeah.
And those who are unfamiliar, who have not heard your previous appearance and heard that story before, then they can enjoy this one, because I think there was a crossover promotion.
Yes, you know. That's right.
Oh.
Colleen, what's your first experience with Star Wars toys? Look at her face. You've got to have something.
It was when she met Eddie.
Right.
Other than whenever I met Eddie. No. I actually had a C-3PO little necklace. And so I guess that was jewelry, but I used it as a toy. And you could move the arms and legs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but I would take it off. And I think Heather had an R2-D2. No, one of us had a Chewbacca. And one of us had C-3PO. And I'd make them play together.
We had those. Vic and I had those, too. We got those at Showbiz Pizza. You know, we got the tickets out of the ski ball, and then we got, I believe, one of us had 3PO, the other had Chewbacca.
I'm sorry, I got mine from Santa, so I don't know where you got yours from, but mine came straight from the North Pole.
Yeah, no, yours...
He got his from a singing bear.
I think yours came from the Island of Misfit Toys.
Now, I remember those necklaces as well. We had some as well. They were pretty much available everywhere. But I was thinking you and Vic must have had like 6 billion tickets to afford that. And it's like, are you the guys who like walk up to the end of the ramp on the ski ball and just drop them all in the thousands?
That was my signature move, is to run up the ski ball and just drop them all in. And then
the last time I tried that, they made me leave. Yeah. It was last week.
They sole remaining Showbiz Pizza in business.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Right. This is a true story. I know I give a lot of BS on the show, but this is a true story. I just finished watching this documentary the other day. You know, Showbiz Pizza is long dead, but there's a guy who bought one of the they're called shows. When you have all the animatronic characters together, it's called a show. He bought one of the shows, and him and his wife actually opened a pizza place in their little town. It's called Showbiz Pizza Zone. It's called Showbiz Pizza Zone instead of Showbiz Pizza.
No copyright infringement there at all.
Right, I know, right.
Well, that must mean that Showbiz Pizza is not only dead, they are so dead they're not even suing. Just like as we mentioned on the show the other day, you know, ExxonMobil hasn't used that red Pegasus symbol in God knows when, in like, not since I was maybe 9.
Nine.
And they basically handed a cease and desist over to Red Pegasus Comics in Dallas. And
I know, that's so wrong.
It's like, oh, we don't want to dilute our brand. That brand was diluted half a century ago.
Right.
At least that particular version. They haven't used that since you were SO. And there being a bit of an SO about the whole thing, if you ask me.
So I'm sure I've discussed Star Wars toys at length on Talking Toys, but just
several times.
For our listeners, throw out some anything interesting as far as Star Wars toys that we may not know, or interesting anecdotes, stories. Were there any hunts as kids that y'all went hunting for specific, you know, MacGuffins, as it were?
Well, I'm pretty sure I told this story on your show. In 1986, I realized, after they had stopped producing figures in 85, I realized that I needed 4 figures to have the complete set of all the original 92 action figures. I needed Death Star Droid, Red Snaggletooth, Walrus Man, and Yak Face. Mm-hmm. And this was pre-internet. My mother took it upon herself to track down the phone number for Kenner in Cincinnati, Ohio. Called him up and said, hey, my kid needs these 4 figures. And the lady on the other line said, well, we never made Yak Face, which was a lie. They made Yak Face. They just didn't release him in North America, but I won't hold that against her.
But she said,
we do have stock of the other 3, so, you know, $4 a pop, they're yours. So my mom said, sold, send them a check. They sent them to us. And so the last 3 that I got were sort of my holy grails, and I was able to get them because my mother was the great enabler, and I was able to complete my collection.
I would point out, because the internet did not exist yet, you are forgiven for not telling everyone in the world you could just call up Kenner back then.
Well, I have to, you know, correct you on that, Cole. The internet was around, as, you know, if you saw War Games, it was obviously Toriyano, right.
And if you haven't seen War Games, you should go watch it right now. It's a great movie.
Put that on your list along with Megaforce.
Yes, okay. Here's my story from today. Okay, Taylor was not around to help me. You guys were talking to some jackhole. I'm not sure who he was.
Well, so much for probably just like, oh, here's this thing, the Rancor Pit. I'll start listening to that. All of a sudden, he's like, whoa!
Eddie and Cole have not endorsed any of my comments.
And let's just say that this man was like 90 and he had a walker. Okay, so...
Yeah, so he was old. So what she's saying is,
he might have had other conditions.
But what she's saying is, he's old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
I'm sitting there talking. We're having a nice conversation, and he mentions something about Michael Beck. He's talking about Michael Beck, and he goes, you know, Michael Beck was in the Warriors, and Eddie said, yeah, wasn't he in Xanadu? And he said, what else? I said, Megaforce. And Eddie goes, oh, that's it. And the guy goes, oh, Megaforce is a horrible movie. I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, you shut your mouth and get out of here right now. Megaforce is a masterpiece of cinema.
Punch him, though.
And, you know, he had it coming.
The old guy.
He had it coming. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not going to dispute that.
He had it coming. So anybody that knows me that listens to our show knows Megaforce holds a special place in my life, in my heart, as well as Taylor's. We've got a commentary track for it, for Pete's sake.
So, and, I mean, again, Megaforce is the only movie to make an ascot look amazing.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. It's the only time an ascot has ever been intimidating.
Fred Rogers says the ascot looks so good.
Honestly, I mean, G.I. Joe was definitely inspired by it. That's where they got their Cobra uniforms and, of course, all of their, you know, Battle Force 2000 uniforms
and stuff.
So, yeah.
Megaforce is amazing.
Megaforce is the movie that the G.I. Joe movie that came out a few years ago should have been.
Okay, see, I will defend the G.I. Joe movies the way you defend Megaforce, sir. So,
well, you have a right to be wrong. And you have a right to be wrong. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, it's...
Again, an opinion is neither right nor wrong.
Unless it's Eddie's.
You know, it's one of those growing up with G.I. Joe and seeing the movies. I like the movies to an extent, but really, like, the Mass Device, Cobra's Revenge, the cartoons like that should have been what the movies were based off, not on the new global terrorism. It's a little too modernized.
I was hoping for Red Rocket's Glare myself.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm still waiting for a cinematic version of the Viper episode.
I want a cinematic version of both Colt Slither and the Invaders, which we watched both this morning before. You know, this is how I know I married the right woman. We wake up this morning. We know we got to get ready for the show. First thing out of Colleen's mouth is, put on the G.I. Joe cartoons.
And that's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. What's your favorite G.I. Joe episode?
Probably the one where the cobras are disguised as, what was it, aliens? Would you like to tell the invaders?
No.
Tell that story. There's another one where I think Barbecue is having a party, and you actually see Snake Eyes dancing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are coming down from the rafters, and they break something and come down on the table and all that.
Yeah.
That might be the Viper episode.
Is it? No, the Viper is the one where they just get this call that says, I am the Viper.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the same. Yeah. Why don't you tell that story, Eddie?
Which one? The aliens?
Okay, so the invade.
I have to point out, just very briefly, I remember seeing, I had a friend who was really into the cartoon, and I'd watch it on occasion. Had Cobra been lactose intolerant, they'd have got away with it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
So the Invaders was the alien invasion episode. Yeah. And it was literally like in my top five episodes of G.I. Joe of all time, the Invaders, Colt Slither, and then I count the miniseries as one episode, 1 2-hour episode. And so I would watch that episode all the time. I recorded it on video cassette. So then Colleen, you know, we put it on after I get the DVD set, and Colleen busts out with, wasn't it obvious to the Joes that the aliens were Cobra because they look like Cobras? And my mind was blown.
How dare you introduce logic?
That is pretty amazing. I think the problem was they mistook them because they were very dangerous for asps.
So Colleen pointed out what I failed to realize over 20 years, that the aliens resembled cobras.
So yet again, you married the right woman.
My favorite episode, I don't remember the name, but Cobra launches a nightclub into space.
Yes!
Launches a disco into space.
Wow.
I'm sitting awake one night back
when
it was on Netflix.
Is it like their own disco or just a random disco?
I think it's just a random disco.
Wow.
All the Joes are there for some reason, and I'm scrolling through Netflix back when it was on Netflix, and I see the synopsis, and launches a nightclub, and this has got to be wrong. I watched it. No, they launch a nightclub into space, and they have to land it safely. And of course, they do. Nobody dies, and everybody lives happily ever after.
Ever dies except in that one where they go into the alternate reality, the alternate universe. There were dead Joes in that episode,
but it didn't count because they were alternate reality.
Yeah, they don't count. They're the Expendables.
Oh, do they have red shirts?
Yes.
All of my other favorite shows are any with Quick Kick in them. I love Quick Kick. Quick Kick, not Quick Cook. Quick Kick. Well, one time we were listening to the cartoons, and I couldn't see the TV, but I could hear it. And so Quick Quick was just talking away, and Eddie was in there watching it. And I said, he paused for a minute, and I said, "Oh, you don't know anything, Quick Quick." Eddie about came around the corner. "How did you know who was talking? Like, are you kidding? I know Quick Quick, okay?"
Yeah, and that was early on when we started rewatching the episodes. We had only been married a few years, and that's when I realized I married a closet G.I. Joe fan and didn't realize it.
Well, that also proved positive of the old axiom, know your Joe.
Well, and speaking of Quick Kick, in the comics, I believe he is one of the only characters that actually did die.
There's a group of them in issue 107 to 109. I had the full run except for it doesn't matter which ones I'm missing. But
yes, it does. Somebody can send them to you.
Right. Well, okay, 153 and 154.
Okay.
So anyway, Quick Kick, Breaker, I think Doc. And it's been a while. But
I remember Breaker as well, yeah.
Breaker, because Breaker was always one of my favorites. And when I found out they killed him, I was like, come on, man. Can't kill Breaker. Like, did he choke in his bubble gun finally? And Nagi was like, that's how
they
killed him.
No, he died because he was the only Joe that didn't come with a gun. Yes. He was the only action figure that didn't come with a gun. That's so right. That's why he died.
Do you know what kind of gum he chewed?
Bubblicious.
No. Bazooka.
Oh. Nice.
Again, know your Joe.
What color shirt does Bazooka wear, Eddie, and what number's on the front of it?
It's red.
Okay, start.
And it's the number, hold on, let me Google it. 14. 14, right?
Okay,
all right.
See, I was thinking 53, but then I realized I was getting him confused with Herbie the Love Bug.
Oh, wow, nice.
They both have the same IQ, basically.
Yeah, they both weigh about the same nowadays.
And there was the Herbie the Love Bug, where he tried to disarm the bomb. We got obsessed with that.
Yes.
Oh no, that was Bazooka. I get those two confused as well. So, can anyone here recite the slogan of the candy bar?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay, it's Quick Kicks. He was working for, and Taylor, you can jump in if you know this.
Okay.
The candy bar company that Quick Kick was working for before when they met him the first time. Do you remember?
I don't.
Fudgies. Fudgies. I think it's Fudgies.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
And I can't remember I can't remember. I thought I could.
Yeah, all I can remember is like the tail end of it, a great sales pitch was it turns to lead in your gut. I think that might have been his own addition.
It is, okay. It's a Fudgies candy bar. It won't come out of your butt because it turns lead in your gut.
That's it.
That had to have been it. That sounds exactly like what you would see. And, of course, you had... Shipwreck, who was based on The Last Detail.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, The Last Detail. Do you remember who Shipwreck was with at the Cobra City they found?
That would be the other village people.
Wow.
I don't know.
He was with himself.
Oh!
I'm with myself.
In the desert.
Yeah, when he's reading the Cobra Times.
That was part of the Mass Device minisodes, yeah.
Yeah. That's when Mutt and Flint and somebody else they were taking the boat through the desert.
Yeah,
it was wind powered.
Yeah, it was Flint and Mutt, and they were dressed up as Cobra officers.
It was just the two of them then. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was Mass. Cobra. No, it was the Revenge of Cobra. Dominator. Yeah.
That was the second season.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm thinking there was three Joes, and there were three Joes. The third Joe was Junkyard, because he was Joe.
It was Junkyard, Shipwreck, and then Flint.
Flint and Mutt.
Warrant officer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting fun fact, the Cobra Times is one of the few successful print newspapers still available.
wait, no. It would be Mutt is the guy, Junkyard is his dog.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Junkyard.
Okay, that's right. I forgot the dog was there.
Yeah.
That's
so it was those three Joes, Mutt, Junkyard, and Flint,
because
and then they met up with Shipwreck
the whole time.
Right. Yeah. So
Timber wasn't there?
No.
Not yet.
Timber was there, but it was going down. And and they were yelling Timber.
Oh, I thought we had to put him down. He caught rabies.
They put him down. They're yelling Timber.
Oh, it got that bad. So we're going to talk a little bit about toys. How about?
It's like 25 minutes
into
it.
That's right. We suddenly remember where we were headed with this show.
Right, okay.
So I think, you know, literally every Star Wars collector has their toy stories, as it were.
Yeah.
But are there any particular toys either of you finally managed to acquire that you never thought you'd have, or that were kind of your holy grails?
Jeff may have something. Thanks to Taylor.
According to Taylor, he's got something to say.
Yeah, one of my holy grails has been the Jawa Sandcrawler from 1971. And I was I've been kind of saving money here and there when I could, because they're really expensive. You're going to spend between $300 to $600 to find one.
Oh yeah, with a working remote and everything.
Yeah. A few months ago, Taylor tells me, "Well, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to be upset, but I got a Sandcrawler in trade. It's not in great shape, but I'm fixing it up. There's no remote control, but the stuff is still in it and still works. It's missing a couple of pieces."
Yeah.
I was like, "Well, that's cool. I wish I could get one." Then Elijah's birthday, his son's birthday was a few weeks ago, and we get to their house for the birthday party. He goes, "Oh, I've got something for you." He pulls out the Sandcrawler and says, "I don't have room for it, wink, wink, so I'd like to give it to you."
That is cool.
And it looks brand freaking new.
Wow.
I spent a lot of time refurbishing that. It came from an attic, and it looked like it had been sneezed on with like a dust buster. So... But it was one of those that a friend of mine had that someone got from his neighbor, and I just took it apart and spent time like cleaning it with toothbrush and, you know, my little soap and OxyClean and water solution, and just cleaning that thing down.
That's incredible, Sherman. You need OxyClean.
Everybody should be jealous that Taylor is my best friend because of the things that he does for me.
Well, if we could segue for a minute, this is a good chance for us to talk about you as an artist, because that doesn't surprise me that you did all that, because you do custom toys. Tell us a little bit about that, because
Every year I do the Vinyl Thoughts art show, which is the premier southern based vinyl designer doll show and outlet that they have.
That's generally in the Dallas area, is it? Or
it's in Dallas. Every year they have it at the Deep Ellum. Yeah, it's over in Deep Ellum.
Yeah, I like to say it's one of the few vinyl shows in America that is Amish friendly.
Yes.
Sure, they're all welcome. They actually have a sign. It's woodcut.
Yes.
Burnished Amish welcome. And also, it's over in Deep Ellum, which is where Deep Ellum on Air is broadcast.
Formerly Deep Ellum on Air. Formerly.
Yeah, so watchonairlive.com, where you can find myself and local... Local artist Eddie Medina on the Rancor Pit Live every on the first and third Sundays of every month from noon to 1 p.m.
Oh my gosh. Okay, back to our guest.
On One Eye Joe Media.
But with the toy customization, I have a lot of these posted on my site, which you can find. But if you want to find out more about the Vinyl Thoughts art show itself and see these pieces as they come out, they have it at vinylthoughtsartshow.com. And it's a great show to go to. It's a lot of fun. And every year I manage to get a few things in and make it over there, and I love it. It's great. They also have a lot of great charities for Creatures for Kids, helping raise money and helping just have kids have an outlet to have art and things to do after school, and also to help them kind of express themselves through, you know, the imagery of Monstery. Mm-hmm.
So now that you've asked Taylor to plug himself, and he's plugged everybody but himself, allow me to say that his work is phenomenal. I have several of his pieces in my own collection. I have a Gamorrean guard that he made that I think is a million times better.
Is that the one that you brought to
the show? Yeah, it's a million times better than the Funko Pop vinyl that they put together, I think.
Some of the other custom toys you've done, Taylor, give us like your favorites that you've created.
Man, one of my favorites I did a merman.
Yeah.
And I actually had I had sculpted out and built like a reef, like a sea reef that went on the back of his head, and it was built into his armor and everything. And he had nets and stuff that kind of went around his fins for his body armor and stuff. Uh-huh. And I loved it. But the day that I created it, I went to one of Jeff's house parties, and it hadn't completely cured, so I fumed everyone out with the with the acrylic spray varnish on the outside. I was like, "Check it out!" And maybe everyone's kind of going, "Oh, I'm feeling really dizzy right now."
I'm not sure if I like it or I'm just high.
Hey, you know, I like to party when I party. So
yeah. I think the first custom toy I remember of yours, I saw that at Freaks and Geeks in Denton. It was the Pabst Beer Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us a little bit about that or how you came up with that idea.
So I ended up getting all of these really cheap, like, Rams. I don't even... They were cheap. And I sat there and I was like, what am I going to do with these things? So I painted them all to look like Beast Man and gave him, you know, the Beast Man red fuzzy collar and a jewel and like a saddle to make it look like his loincloth. And I was like, you know, if this was a wrestler, if this was like a backring wrestler thing, wow. This would be someone who's a He-Man fan would dress this ram up to fight like a ram in the middle of the ring. And I was like, I could just imagine that in Denton. So
yeah.
So like Pabst the blue ribbon of beer became my pro amateur backyard super tumbling.
Yes.
And then the character's name was the Beast.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, that's why I loved it, because it had all these little things about it when you were reading the little card. Because he just dropped it into a baggie and stapled the card up top. Like, you would see those figures, like, at, like, Fiesta.
Yeah.
Like, the Lucha Libre, you know, guys, you know, that don't move. It was very reminiscent of that sort of thing. It was genius.
Growing up in those small areas in the backwoods, like, having those little markets with, you know, bootleg toys with a staple topper on it, that's what I grew up with. And I love those things. You know, I do collect every once in a while, like, bootlegs and very cheap toys from, like, Dollar General.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love them. I'll buy one on card and one to play with.
Yeah. I'll even say because I can afford it.
He's been working for a year. I got a Black Hole action figure of Robert Forster's character.
Yeah.
And he's been working, he says he's been working for a year to make me a custom Max Cherry action figure from Jackie Brown.
Oh, wow.
I have yet to see it, but he swears he's working on it.
One of my favorite ones that I did, and it was a fun one a few years back, because I'm a big fan of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves,
and
those action figures. And I saw a Friar Tuck over there I was thinking about getting, but it's...
You mean the Gamorrean Guard Friar Tuck?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, everybody needs a Michael McShane action figure.
Exactly. Well, that is, it's the anemic Gamorrean guard.
Yeah. It's weird because it's a little short for
a Gamorrean guard.
Well, I was going to say a little short for a monk, but I digress. Anyways,
isn't it the Gamorrean guard but scaled slightly down? Right, it's not even like the same size.
The whole head collar's changed because they actually had to put a stem onto the top.
Yeah, they had to whittle out the midsection there.
Oh yeah,
and of course we were asking, aren't you a little short for a monk?
Mm-hmm. But what one of my favorite things is I took, because there was this whole idea of a second wave of toys that were going to come out, which I actually got offered those photographic toys not too long ago, and I can't afford them. But
oh wow!
So I took the picture of the vendor catalog of all the... Oh goodness!
Yeah.
I took.
He gets so upset when he hears the phrase vendor catalog.
So he's also said you couldn't afford those toys, because that was going to be his legacy.
He really just is not interested in these Cheerios at all, was the problem.
He's got a lot of his food on the floor, and he wants to eat it, and I won't let him eat off the floor like his dad.
Yeah.
And he's losing it because of that one reason. Oh, yeah, so anyways, I took a sheriff, and I customized him up to make it look like me. And I went as far as to go and take a picture of me with costume out by a tree and Photoshop this whole backer and everything. And the character's name was Grin Sleeves. And the character's got a green body and a spear, though in the picture he has a sword. Because that was the whole idea, like with Robin Hood having a flaming arrow, but he's got a crossbow. And it's just
right.
Like no one knew what was going on with this line.
That's funny.
So what happened was, may I finish the story, Taylor? Okay, so what happened was he posted this on his website and posted that he had found this long-lost figure and posted the card art and everything and a picture of the figure. He actually got offers from people to buy it.
Figure was a real release?
It was a real release. And one of them was our friend Joel, who runs Darth Maul Toys. And about a year after he offered it to him, he offered to buy it. Taylor finally admitted to him. He was like, you know, that was me. If you go back and look. And he went back and looked, and he said, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I can't believe that. And you guys just let me believe it. Like, well, we didn't know what to say. We didn't want to make you feel bad. But
that actually kind of reminds me, one time we were, Catherine and I were selling at one of the local shows,
Dallas Comic Con or Fan Days, one of those. And Jeffrey Carlton had dropped by in his full 501st Stormtrooper outfit. Shows up at the table, and he starts hanging around, and as people would come up to the table, he would just freeze in place.
Like a big action figure.
Yeah. Or like one of those life-size.
He was actually in his trooper armor and acting like he was a big statue.
Yeah, it was just like, what would have been if we actually had such a thing? That's probably where
we... And if you know him, you know he could do it so well, because I can just imagine him just stiffening up in a pose and holding it forever.
Yeah, and he would hold it at length there, and people would come up. And there was another dealer who came by the table, and he kept stopping and looking, and he'd go back to his table, he'd come back again and kind of mill about, and finally he says, "How much is that?" I thought, okay, sure. Ha ha. I said, $300. And he kind of paused, and he went back to his table and did this circuit a few more times.
So wait, he had to think about it. That's
yeah, he was actually thinking about it. And then he came back later, and Jeffrey had moved on. And he walked up with this most crestfallen look. "You sold it, didn't you?" And we're like, oh, gee, do we let him off the hook, or we let him think that he missed the bargain of a lifetime? Which, I mean, could not. You couldn't get something half that size for $300. It was hollow plastic.
That's funny.
Taylor was bringing up earlier the wave two of Prince of Thieves, and it got me thinking about a certain story. Well, I'm a big Last Starfighter fan, big fan, and so I pulled the movie out a few weeks ago. Colleen, can you see if I need help? A few weeks ago, and I started, rewatching this. After, of course, like any toy fanatic, I was going to go see if there was customs made. Anybody make customs of the Last Starfighter? Turns out there was a Last Starfighter line planned. I mean, very intricate, very and nice sculpts. And the cool thing about this line, they were going to release these things as two packs. The card, the blister card was rounded.
Not Tupac, but two packs.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Notorious Colleen.
Well, that's probably why the line failed, is people were afraid that if they bought it, they'd get shot.
That's racist, sir. So it's a back, and the backing is round. It's a round car, and it had the two figures. So they were going to sell these as two packs. And I'll tell you what, they were making everything for this. The aliens, it was such a shame that they didn't get made.
Yeah, in fact, I remember seeing pictures of those myself, and they had all the different background aliens. And it was a clever way to make the aliens marketable.
Yeah.
Like if you want the squid head, their squid head, their mind flayer. You'd have to buy the other character.
And they're doing something similar, that marketing technique right now with the Scooby-Doo figures. I think they're Walmart exclusives. But what they're doing with these Scooby-Doo figures, number one, they're dirt cheap for being 5-inch figures. They come with Shaggy and one of the classic creatures from the intro. Scooby and one of the classic creatures. So it's really cool because as you're collecting the mystery gang, you're getting each of the classic characters from that old intro to the Scooby-Doo cartoon.
In fact, I was going to buy one at Walmart, but I was a little offended by the little hipster behind the counter there when I was, went to the checkout, and he looked over at me and goes, "Zoinks, is the geezer Ebenezer!" I'm like, wow, I'm just 50, come on.
Wow, those hipsters,
Those damn millennials.
Oh my gosh.
Millennial audience, by the way.
What's that?
There goes our hipster millennial audience.
We never had that audience.
I have a story that has to do with G.I. Joe, Star Wars, toys, and a convention.
And it likely is going to be at my expense.
No. This was at AllCon. Yeah, AllCon, right?
Yeah.
And Cole, I don't know if you remember this, but you were doing one of your games, one of your mini games, and I don't remember which one it was, but I wasn't participating. I was just in there watching and listening. And so someone had asked the question, and I can't specifically remember if it was the cartoon or the movie.
Cartoon.
Okay, the cartoon. And what three female Joes were in the cartoon? And of course, Scarlet, Lady J came up, and no one else could get the third one. And there was somebody said the Baroness, you know, and so I raised my hand, and even though I wasn't, because then they were y'all were asking people in the audience, yeah, because no one could get it.
Desperation had set in.
And I said CoverGirl, and oh yeah, I got a little. I didn't get a toy though. I still am owed that toy. So there's the.
You can choose any of the Rancors in front of you from the table.
I like this one right here.
Cole got a pedicle. He's like, no.
Oh, yeah, now we have to rectify this situation from years ago. But yes, that's why I was rather surprised that no one got. And by the way, Lady J was pretty hot on that show. I'm just saying that.
Oh yeah, it was the voice. It was the scruff voice, you know.
The scruff, sexy smoker voice.
Yeah. Because
you show that Lauren Bacall six packs a day voice going on.
Well, you gotta imagine she got that voice because, you know, after sex she light up. Oh. And so boy, she was popular in the pits.
By being one of only three girls on the team.
Four? You're forgetting Jinx.
But at the time she joined Jinx.
Yeah.
Jinx hadn't come on board yet.
Jinx and then Helix. Helix came later, but you know, that's more modern, so anyway. Oh.
So needless to say, I'm still looking for that toy.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure I have it somewhere for you.
That's actually on Erica. That's on Erica because that was Erica's game show that she was doing.
Oh, okay, that was that Saturday morning game show. Yeah. Okay, so I'm off the hook. Thank you, Eddie.
Yes. Erica and Warren, I know you listen to every episode. That's on you.
You have been called out now. So to kind of tie Star Wars and G.I. Joe together beyond the fact that, you know, you have, like, archetypes like Darth Vader and Cobra Commander as your big bads, who then turn out to have an emperor behind them.
Yeah.
So you have Emperor Palpatine, and then, you know, the Joes are like, well, hey, what gives? We have an emperor. So they had to, like, make their own out of spare parts.
It was like the Bisquick version of Cobra enemies. You know, they just kind of put all the ingredients together and made Serpentor.
Don't let Taylor hear you say that. He loves Serpentor.
Oh, I do too. So are you a big Serpentor fan?
I am Serpentor and, like, Cobra Law and all the genetics.
Okay, you're a big Serpentor fan. I have something for you before you leave, sir.
So. And Cobra was behind Dolly the sheep also. A lot of people don't realize that they... It was about as
effectual. That's why Dolly was born with a silver face mask.
That's right. No, it's okay. She's shy.
That's the Mark Hamill version of Cobra Commander.
It's Mark Hamill Joker. It's Cobra Commander. I'm not sure what that was.
Wow. Okay, so more talking toys, since this is our big rant corpit talking toys crossover. Any other, let's throw something out there and let's just go at it.
I was going to ask about, from like myself, in the ghastly years between about 1985 and then 95, mostly 85, 86, 87, I actually... Star Wars was kind of a gateway, and then there was no Star Wars. So, you know, you go walking into Best Products, or you got those Star Wars figures left laying around anywhere. And I started, like, buying some G.I. Joes, and I started buying a lot of G.I. Joes, and ultimately, to my shame, sold them off dirt cheap in a garage sale. But I don't know what I was thinking there. But did either of you happen to fall into that trap?
I had a ton of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe was second only to Star Wars in my collection when I was a kid. I had one year I got the Command Center and the hovercraft at the same time.
Wow.
It was glorious. And that hovercraft is still, to this day, one of my favorite toys of all time. And I actually have a pretty good G.I. Joe story, also relates to my mother. One year... I had Lowlight was one of my favorite action figures. If you remember Lowlight, he had the black toque on and the dark gray fatigues and everything because he was the sniper that would shoot you at night.
He was the one with the giant scope.
Yes, huge scope.
Almost like X-Men cable size scope on his regular size gun.
Mine got lost. I had a friend that came over and he tossed it into a field and we could never find it. And this happened in probably August. Christmas that year, Santa Claus, quote unquote, brought me another Lowlight. And I said, this is amazing. Santa Claus remembers everything. And my mom said, yeah, he really does. And then, of course, I got older and realized it was my mother who had remembered everything.
Well, Santa, it was Santa.
But,
Santa
because I didn't mention it to Santa. She had to have mentioned it to Santa for me. That's what I mean.
No, but actually Santa, because he watches you all the time, he saw the incessant, inconsolable you
yes.
after Low Light was lost.
So again, completed my collection yet again.
Excellent.
Okay. Taylor, I hope I didn't already give you one of these in the past, but for you, for being a big Serpentor fan... Okay, then my, okay, he doesn't have that.
He doesn't have this one because it's not up on his wall. If it would have been
I was going to say, I know I've given him something in the past, and I was thinking, yeah, so it's a my Serpentor print.
We got the Stormtrooper on the Grim.
Oh, I can't hear you. But.
Oh. We got the Stormtrooper on the Grim, and that's Elijah's favorite.
Oh, okay.
We walked by, and he wants to reach out and touch it.
Oh, okay, okay. Because I knew I had given you something in the past. Oh, I was like, I hope I didn't give him the Serpentor, but if not, he gets two.
Serpentor is awesome.
There you go. It's all yours.
Thank you.
And, Jeff, so you don't feel left out, before you leave, you can pick out something for yourself, too.
Yay!
And he just doesn't know what you like.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Well, I was just giving him one of Cole's flyers that he made. You know, I thought it was worth something.
It's got to be worth something. Almost worth the paper it's printed on.
It's got to be worth anything.
It's almost worth the paper it's printed on.
But not really.
Not really, yes.
But hopefully yeah, I will say, Taylor, a running joke on our show is that Taylor breaks toys, like, in rapid fashion.
Yeah.
Anytime he talks about a toy he had as a kid, the story invariably ends with him, and then I broke it.
Is that when you got into customizing because you were already used to the tearing them apart?
That's how you got so good at it. A few years ago, I was going through all my toys, and I found my Serpentor action figure.
Yeah.
And I gave it to him. The next time I saw
him,
he had broken the crotch. I don't know what he was doing with it.
Wow.
But he had broken the crotch.
It happened. I mean, with that kind of metallic plastic, it gets really brittle.
Yeah. Sure it does.
I happened to sit him down on my desk, and all of a sudden his crotch goes flying off across the room. And I'm like, well, that's
good.
Like, yeah, he just sat it down on the table. Sure. Sat in a box for 25 years. Nothing happened.
So, like,
I give it to him, and 2 days later, his crotch broke.
It sat in a hot UV-filled box for 20 years.
Of course,
and
there's
his
and
his crotch broke off.
How can the box be UV-filled if it's sealed?
So I'm picturing.
You got it there before you sealed it.
That's right.
Yeah, it trapped in there.
It was a box full of sunshine, and you didn't get the sunshine out. I'm sorry. You destroyed my poor Serpentor.
That explains why I've been sad for the last 25 years. I put all my sunshine in a box.
You had to take the box and turn it upside down and shake the sunshine out before you pack it away for
I'll remember that next time.
But it's like vacuum in there. Put a vacuum. Get the darkness in.
I'm picturing something out of The Exorcist where you set the figure down and all of a sudden the crotch shoots across the room supernatural style.
It did. It shot off too. It was so weird. I tried to look for his crotch to glue it back on.
Actually, I was looking
at his crotch is still at large.
Wow. I bet it's in the field.
It probably is. Probably with Low Light.
Probably got wished into the cornfield.
Okay. Jeff just gave us our new hashtag for this episode. Hashtag crotch at large.
Oh, I like that.
You're welcome.
She'll put a rocket crotch.
Two for the price of one.
Oh, yes, it's a new movie from Hasbro. Rocket crotch Serpentor. I'll stop the Joes. Pew!
Phil's half the man now.
That's going
to
be my next cosplay is rocket firing Serpentor. Rocket crotch. I'm sorry, rocket crotch. Okay, Taylor, that's going to be your next custom. Is Rocket Crotch Serpentor?
No, it doesn't have to be a custom. I've got Rocket Crotch Serpentor.
You've already got it.
You can't find a crotch.
Yeah,
he's already fired it off.
You might want to check some of the vendors.
Some
of the vendors here at the show. They've got loose pieces. You might find some crotches.
It's like the chest rockets from Mazinga Z.
Okay. We don't have a video segment yet of Taylor walking around. Our video segment is I'm going to take you to this vendor, this guy right here at the end. He's got a whole box full of just pieces. We're going to take you over on video. We're going to look for that crotch.
This will be the official Rancor Pit quest for crotch.
This is probably my favorite episode ever. Oh, my gosh. So, any thoughts, Colleen, on the rocket crotch?
I'm still trying to process it all, but...
We were just hoping it was Flint's crotch or Quick Kick's crotch.
Yeah, Quick Kick, yeah.
That would make it Quick Crotch.
Oh, I was so going to go there.
That's why they give it a microphone. anybody who's used to listening to the show knows that Cole and I finish each other's jokes constantly. We're like an old married podcasting couple.
We'll do vacation separately.
Yes.
Because I'm not in the camping.
Sure you two guys are probably the same, I'm sure.
We've been called the odd couple of podcasting.
There you go. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So it's like the two married podcasting couples are now joining forces on one podcast.
I would like to say I have a recent G.I. Joe acquisition story.
Our
friend Dan Zare,
go Joe for
Kobe fame, sent me a couple of years ago, sent me a video. He had located all of his G.I. Joe toys up in his attic, and he sent me a video of all of them. And I said, okay, did you just buy these this week? No, I had these since I was a kid. These things don't look like they've been played with. They're pristine condition. Apparently, he was even more of a stickler than I was about taking care of his toys, because I got the Mobat, the tank.
Oh yeah.
I got the motorcycle. I can't remember the green Ram cycle, and the Cobra water moccasin. All of them.
I used to have that water
moccasin. Don't look like they've been touched. The Mobat still, I put batteries in it. It still runs just fine. He even had the visor on his helmet still.
Yeah, those visors, you could never find the visors because kids would lose those like that.
They are harder to find than a Serpentor field crotch.
Of course.
We don't know yet. We haven't been on the search.
Right, that's right.
So I have to credit Dan for hooking me up with that. But
that's Dan Zare.
Dan Zare, Coffee with Kenobi.
Please tell me that his like catchphrase is, don't go Zare.
It will be now. I can't believe we've never thought of that.
Wow.
If it's don't go czar, isn't it? Go Zare. No, it's from Ghostbusters. Remember
Gozer? The Gozerian?
There is no Dan Zare. Just Gozer.
Dan Zare the Danzarian.
Wow.
There is no Dana, just Dan Zare.
There is no Dana, only Dan.
I'm creeped out right now. That was Taylor.
Oh, Dan Zare, you nut.
That was Elijah. What are you talking about? That was not Taylor.
That's worst words. Oh, that was upset.
You scared him.
Aww.
I was like, the Serpentor crotch didn't scare him, but the voice did.
Speaking of pieces that come off easily, I love being at this show because...
That was the best segue ever. The best segue ever.
I love going around this place and looking at all the accessories and playing with them. And remember the one time I broke the phone?
Yes, last year.
And I think that guy's here. And I think whenever he saw me, like, he didn't want to make eye contact. He did not want me to go into his little place. It's like right over there.
He gave you the vendor stare down.
Yeah, he did.
That's it.
I remember you.
And then there was the big tank that was like $600, yes. And a door came off that wasn't supposed to come off, and I took off running.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We got both on video. Uh-huh. We're not showing those segments. The evidence. Yeah.
What is the statute of limitations on toy breaking? I'm not sure that
there is none.
I think it's like taxes. 7 years out.
Oh, 7 years out. Okay. I have to hold out for a little longer then on that one.
No, it's like murder. There is no forgiveness.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Depends who you ask.
It's toy murder.
Hashtag toy murder.
I don't think you want to go there, Taylor. You'd be public enemy number one.
Taylor actually reminds me of an old friend of mine who I was hoping would be here today. It would be Russell King, the Toyminator.
The Toyminator?
The Toyminator who... We used to joke that Russell couldn't get a toy in his hands without wanting to make it into another toy.
Yeah.
He actually made for my wife.
Yeah, Taylor, you and Russell would get along well together.
What I also love about Russell was he would find low-tech solutions to high-tech problems. He was like this redneck MacGyver.
You're saying what I used to love? Like, he's dead. He just moved. He's just off the grid. He's not dead, Cole.
When you become Amish, you're dead to me. So.
You're dead to me.
That's right.
Those are Amish. Once you go Amish, you don't have social media.
There is
no life.
You gotta get the mic.
Yeah.
It's like once you go Amish, there's no social media. There is no life. Yeah, to everyone else, you are gone.
Right. Well, he has sort of fallen largely off the face of the earth. We did get to see him not too long ago. But one of the things that Russell did, like on the G.I. Joe front, was he would come up with these great untapped Cobra Forces.
He totally should have been working for Hasbro. The ideas he had. Oh, my God.
Well, he had, for one thing, you got to entertain the troops. So he actually made a figure, a custom figure, of the G.I. Joe, or the Cobra Elvis impersonator.
King That's Snake. Awesome. That is awesome.
So him go, oh, it's King Snake, come on.
Yeah, King Snake. So King Snake.
I could imagine like Serpentor's helmet with like, you know, just maybe Crankcase's outfit in like pearly white, but Serpentor's helmet in like pearly white with little rhinestones on the top.
Well, he'd done him all up in the cat suit and everything, and he was actually using Serpentor's staff as his mic.
I kind of go in and just paint some starburns on the side of his, his head under his helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was really... the one that you'd have to ask to see it, because he was a little embarrassed that he came up with it and actually made one, was the Cobra. It was like the Cobra Taylor. They took care of all the.
I kind of want to do a Cobra sanitation unit
with this. Oh yeah, but it was the Trouser Snake. You actually use like Major Blood.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So you have a purple helmet. Okay, that's taking a little too far.
Yeah. Wow.
The Trouser Snake could work on, and that could work in so many different lines, not just G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one was a little bit deliberate, but we had like the Cobra Farmer was the Corn Snake, and the Dairy Farmer was the Milk Snake. So you had like all of these. It was just filling in all these niches that Larry Hama and the cartoons and the comics.
Was there a Rat Snake?
Oh, Cobra Exterminator would have been good. A rat snake. Yeah.
And then you have your small hipster gardener, which is your garden snake.
Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, we're trying to do a selfie.
So
that makes for good audio.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite Joe figure though of all time, I had two. One was Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
Because he was named after a wrestler, and the other one was Refrigerator Perry.
Oh yeah, the fridge.
And I got one of those at DFW Vintage Toys a couple of years ago as well, complete. And it's even got they even put into his teeth.
Did it come with the football mace?
Yep. Got the mace. That was even had the foul card with it.
We talked about that on Hey Kids Comics about that. It was like the most ridiculous and deadly weapon they could have given him was a football mace.
Especially because we found out years later that it was partially deflated.
I think my favorite Joe... I growing up, I kind of had different ones, but I think I settled on Mutt and Junkyard because I'm such a big dog lover.
Right.
I was like, Mutt, I just... And plus, he had that Magnum P.I. mustache. It could not be beat. You could not.
You're right. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Did he wear the shorts too?
No, he did not have the nice tanned Hawaiian tanned legs.
Yeah. I was also a big fan of Chuckles because everybody who knows me knows that I like for my action figures to be able to do mundane things like go buy groceries, go get their laundry, things like that. And Chuckles had the Hawaiian shirt. He had the Hawaiian shirt. He looked like he was in civvies, so he could go out and not get looked at twice.
Right. So I didn't know that you were a big Chuckles fan. I have to ask. Do you read any of the comic series?
I've read the one where he was a double agent.
Yes.
I read half of it. I haven't been able to finish
it.
I need to.
Oh, my gosh. You will look at Chuckles in a completely different light. Taylor, have you read it?
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, especially the one where he says, Hail Hydra. I just...
The rise and fall of Chuckles.
No.
Yeah, oddly enough, when that came out, you know, everyone who was cosplaying Chuckles, they gave up their life as a Chuckles cosplayer.
All one of them nationwide. Burn this Hawaiian shirt.
No, there were a bunch of guys who were cosplaying as Chuckles. They just didn't know it. They were just old guys who were in Florida. Oh,
people would come up to convention, great Chuckles. I wasn't laughing. You hipsters.
Chuckles cosplayer. Also known as Jedi Cole.
Yeah, that explains so much. People like, what, you couldn't decide between Chuckles and rock and roll? Like, what are you talking about?
So Jeff's favorite, obviously, is one that can go out in public. Mine is on the opposite spectrum. One of my favorites is Crocmaster.
Oh.
It's just so weird. A guy that's covered in alligator garb, a knife, a pistol... and a whip, and an alligator on a chain. I mean, that just speaks toughness. That's the kind of guy that walks down the street, and you're like, I'm going to go the other way.
It really speaks either toughness or a porno.
Well, that's the thing. The thing that always bugged me about him is that one of his accessories wasn't a safe word.
Oh,
wow. Well, it's weird because he's got a leather wrap mask and a respirator. You kind of wonder what he's up to.
You could customize a GIMP, you right? could customize a GIMP action figure out of that really easily.
It was actually
you could, but I'm not touching my Croc Master. He stays as he is. He is so cool, though.
That's an unusual phrase.
Well, yeah,
that's
the Croc Master.
With the respirator and the mask, he was actually pioneering underwater bondage.
Oh, well, and that's how he communed with his reptiles for training.
Right. Okay, I got a Croc Master story. I have like a sore spot when it comes to Croc Master, in that I grew up reading the G.I. Joe comics. Well, I sent the idea of what basically was Croc Master to Marvel, to their letters column, complete with a sketch I did of this character. I forgot what I called him, but it was basically Croc Master. It even had an alligator pet. And I sent it to the Marvel's letter column. You know, of course, didn't hear anything, didn't get printed. Next thing I know, like a few years later, Croc Master shows up. I'm like, that's my idea. They stole my,
it's certainly possible. I was like, I'll just set that aside later.
Right, and then, Larry Hama, ends up on his desk. So,
check this out, Larry. This kid said this thing is called Gator King, huh? Croc Master.
It would be cool if they happened to find that old letter and post it and actually, at this age, give you some credit for it.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool also just to see it or to have it back.
Uh-huh.
Put it next to an original Croc Master, even like an injection mold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, it had such a sore spot that...
Well, one of the test mold features.
That's what Croc Master calls it.
Right, yeah. We were trying to get away from that.
Reptile injections.
I purposely never bought a Croc Master figure because of that sore spot, but I think I need to reconcile that and just go... I need to go out into this fine... area and go get a Croc Master and just be done with the very, very old,
There are some out there, and I ended up getting, I think it was when the 30th anniversary figures came out, I ended up getting the newer one, and that thing has been my favorite action figure from that line. It's a great, great, great setup for him. New parts, he looks
great. Yeah, the fact that they went back and kind of reimagined a lot of those older figures and, for those who had them. And what's funny is, my younger brother actually was buying a few G.I. Joes in the early days, back when everybody was pretty generic.
Yeah.
Zap and Scarlet stood out by being individuals,
Right.
Yeah. Everybody else kind of were all like, okay, here's your normal green outfit. And then all of a sudden, the second generation G.I. Joes come out, and you got to figure the old guys grunting, hey, what gives, When do I get a cool costume or get to run around in a Hawaiian shirt or wear whatever I want or... Pantsless Joe was a bad idea for the line, but otherwise they did some good.
Do you ever notice that Bazooka, the original Bazooka, right?
Yeah.
Looked like Charles Kuralt.
Wow, I had never made that connection.
It looks like a cross between Charles Kuralt and Bob Newhart. Next time you look at the figure.
I will look at that in a whole new light. Personally, my favorite, because it was the first one I bought for myself, because there were superpowers and G.I. Joe. It was about the only thing as far as some really cool action figure lines at the time. And I bought Snowjob because I'm thinking, for the same money, you get more junk with this guy.
Right, you get skis, backpack,
ski pole, gun, pack of condoms.
You got that with yours?
No, mine was a bootleg.
Oh, okay.
And an O-ring.
Yes, they all came with an O-ring.
Well, you also had the removable feet for Frostbite.
Yeah, that would have been funny. And the thing about it was, Frostbite actually... broke my cardinal. Actually, he didn't break my cardinal rule, because you could put the ski poles around his wrist, if I remember correctly, right? So he could carry his gun, his backpack, have his skis, so he didn't break my rule of not having more accessories than he could carry.
Yeah, or you could slot the ski poles in the backpack.
Right. None of them did, and I always thought that any of the Arctic troopers would do that, but even Blizzard, who had two sets of foot pieces, his sled with his back. It also had a spot for his skis, because he would ride on that, and then he had the ice crunchers that you stick to the bottom of his feet. So
yeah, he had those nice snowshoes.
No, take it back. He broke the rule because he had a pistol and a rifle, and he could hold one of each, I guess.
Yeah,
make up your mind, Taylor.
Or
I'm trying to think.
He probably just found that
with his sled.
He probably just found that pistol there in the snow while he was walking along.
Right.
That was the start of the adventure. It's sort of like finding the ear in Blue Velvet.
Yeah.
Very good recognizing my obscure references.
Okay, sorry, I'm back. Just selling my wares here at the DFW G.I. Joe Neck.
And maybe
we're
talking about art.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we'll like the first G.I. Joe I ever got was the snow job because it had so many accessories. It was like for the same money.
Oh, I know, right. That's crazy.
I'm sorry. Snow job.
Snow job, yes. Wow. As in, you're snowing me, you're conning me, snow job.
Okay, got it.
In all fairness to Colleen, it was the second most awkward toy name ever. The most awkward was the box set, the Cinema Scenes box set from Star Wars. You have to say it very slowly, Minock Hunt.
Minock Hunt.
Because otherwise it turns into Porky's. Was Minock Hunt in the parking lot?
Yeah, Minock Hunt. Minock Hunt. Yes.
You don't want to ask Graham.
If you say it too fast, it sounds like... Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Say it three times fast and see what happens.
I'll just go ahead and put it in.
Yeah. That was the original premise to Candyman. You know, like you would summon Candyman that way, but yeah.
Yeah, Lucasfilm threatened to sue.
Yeah.
Might have. Same thing with Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We're about the hour mark. Is there anything we want to touch on before we close out?
MarvinDougMedia.com, Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff. You can find us there.
Wow.
In case we missed it.
We did not.
Okay.
I would like to just say that I'm off for the summer, so when everybody's working, they have to get up early. I won't have to. And I can just kind of do whatever I want, especially swim. And I just can't wait to take Flint home and play with... Never mind. Just... Goodbye.
Take off his removable clothes.
I was going to say...
The Flint figure was actually blushing, I noticed.
I was going to say, I've really enjoyed this show so far, and I ended up picking up... It was from the G.I. Joe Retaliation line.
Yeah.
It was the Blind Master.
Yes.
The Raza, and I was debating on whether I wanted to open them up or not, but I think I want to open them up and put them with my ninjas all lined up on like the shelf. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you started that phrase, when you said I've really enjoyed the show, I thought you were talking about our podcast. So in fact, you're talking about the convention.
Well, that too,
unfortunately, because most guests don't enjoy their time with it.
I've enjoyed the show,
but I can only enjoy half of it because I keep having to walk off.
because of our sixth member of the panel that chose not to chime in, only off mic.
All he's done is take
conversation away.
Yeah.
But the thing is, shaking his head too.
We can follow up with Elijah. And
oh yeah,
we'll have a nostalgia.
His first recovered memory.
That's right.
Well, in a few years, though, we'll have to take the mic away from because it'll be like,
oh yeah, I got to make up for last time here.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Jeff, Taylor, and Elijah, and Colleen, thank you for joining us on this very special Rantcore Pit. I almost said live Rantcore Pit. Episode of Rantcore Pit.
Recorded live.
Yeah.
In the same room. And also thank you to the folks who put on the DFW, G.I. Joe, and Toy or Action Figure Show. This is, I think, their sixth year, maybe?
Something like that.
Six or seven years. I actually went and set up at a table at one of the early ones. And it's been really cool to see this show grow, to become a two-day show, to have a nice big venue like this. And we're really appreciative to have the opportunity to come out and then give us a table. We can spread all our junk out and make this happen.
Yeah. Thanks, Keith and Hank and Greg and everybody else at the G.I. Joe Show, Rome, everybody who just been very accommodating and letting us set up for the weekend and doing our... goofing off with our videos and all, but definitely check out the videos. We're going to post them to our YouTube channel. They'll be linked through Jedi Cole at JediCole.com. And check out the live show at WatchOnAir.com. We stream live every first and third Sunday at 12 noon Central. And Cole, you want to anything else real quick?
As you said, be sure and check everything out at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@Yahoo.com. You can find the occasional Twitter tweet at the Jedi Cole U. And since we are at a convention, it's rather appropriate to point out the Convention Awareness Project Texas at cap-tx.info. Every convention in the state of Texas all year long, because you can't go if you don't know.
Indeed.
And with that, we'll be getting out of here and walking around doing some more videos. So again, Jeff, Taylor, and Elijah, thank you for joining us. Colleen, thank you for putting up with us. And Cole, let's get out of here.
And we'll be back in about 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense.
MarvinDogMedia.com.